Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Welcome to the podcast today. We want to tell you about something really crazy that was recently released, and this is essentially OpenAI themselves. So, you know, you're hearing it straight from the beast, has released a guide to prompt engineering, essentially. So essentially telling us exactly how to use ChatGPT to get the best results out of it. Jamie and I have kind of broken this down into like a very concise, they have this massive blog post. You can go on their website. We might link it in the show notes. Otherwise, just go look at OpenAI prompt engineering guide, Google it, and it'll be the top result. It's a massive blog post and guide. We've consolidated this down to the 6 core areas that are important on this. And we're going to give you a couple bullet points and use cases of us both using ChatGPT and how we've use this. This is like literally completely game changing for how I use ChatGPT and how my responses are. I'm going from like mediocre responses that I have to like heavily edit to all of a sudden like it completely does the task for me. I don't have to touch it. That's my goal. And so a lot of these is really how you get there. So we're gonna break it down. But Jamie, why don't you kick us off with the first one?
Yeah. So I mean, I think when it comes to ChatGPT, I feel like there's a lot of opportunity. And there's a need for education in the space because if you just open up the program and you start typing prompts, you may not get the results you want unless you know kind of, you know, what the process is and you kind of get inside the mind of the GPT. So, so you need to think about like, where is information coming from? And then how is it going to build, you know, the thing you want? So there's like a little workflow kind of, we're just going to walk through. The first one is obviously you got to write clear instructions. So, you know, if you don't tell the model exactly what you want, and if you're not detailed, it's going to kind of just start jumbling stuff together and you may get something that is kind of usable, but generally not. You know, I've tried to, you know, just give it a quick, you know, write me a blog post on Whatnot, which is, you know, an app I'm starting to use a lot more, a reselling app, and it doesn't even know what it is. It kind of just BS's some stuff. So you gotta be very clear about what exactly you want from it.
Yeah, 100%. They have a couple tactics they mentioned that I think are really important along with what Jamie said. And the first one is one of them that they mentioned specifically that I like is they talk about to specify the desired length of your output. So I want to talk about that because I've had mixed responses. And I don't know if you're in the same camp, Jamie. Pretty much what I've found is ChatGPT cannot give you in one answer more than like 1,000 words. Sometimes I can push it and bully it into giving me 1,200 words. Maybe 1,500 is the max I've ever gotten out of like, you know, once in a blue moon. But really, it's like 1,000 words is usually a long response. So if I'm like, give me a blog post, give me an article, tell me about this thing, is make it as lengthy as possible. 1,000 words is like the absolute max. So that's something that I think is interesting. The other thing though, that has helped me. So if I'm like, if I say like word count, like make it like 2,000 words or 5,000, 500 words, it is terrible at doing word count. I don't think it can do word count. I don't know if Jamie, have you ever got it to do word count for you?
Not to the exact neck. To be honest, I haven't taken the time to actually count the words either. So
okay, well, I get like one of those word counters and put it in there. And I don't care if it's like 20 off, but I want it to be roughly. I'm like, give me like a 2,000 word article and it's like 700 words. And it's like, I'm done. And I'm like, duh. Yeah. This is what I found out to be the best is to count by sentences or paragraphs. So I'm like, give me 3 paragraphs about this or give me 6 sentences about this. It can do sentences and paragraph counts, I found. So that's just a little pro tip of something that I've actually been able to get it to do.
Well, one question I have about this flowchart we're looking at, it has provide examples. Could you give it, you know, from your knowledge, could you give it an exact URL from another web page to crawl, or is it not capable of that yet?
I'm not 100%. Earlier this year, it was able to do that if you had like browse with Bing. I think you might be able to do that now, to be honest. Yeah, give it like a, what I also think though, when it says provide examples, what I've done successfully in the past as well is just like, if there's something on a web page, copy all the text from the web page. And you also, that's a pro tip too. when you caught, like, let's say you want to, throw like a web page in there and get it to write something about it or give you some commentary on it. You don't have to like clean that data. So like you copy the whole web page. It's got like, you know, the text for like ads on the website and like images and like alt tags and like the comment section. Like you could copy the whole thing and throw it in there and it's going to be able to find the relevant stuff. That's one thing I do love about it is I'm not like backspacing relevant head, like titles and like random, like, I don't know, like jumbled text in there. But as far as providing examples, one thing that I have very successfully done is when I'm trying to get it to talk like in my same voice, like so it sounds like me, not just like ChatGPT's like ultra professional. One thing I do is I will grab like a block of text of like my writing from like an article I've done or something, throw that in there and be like, copy the exact tone and style of this clip. This is me, and like write it like this, and it can do a lot better. I don't know the exact prompt engineering like keywords to make it talk like me. Like I talk like this and I say things like that. You know, like I don't know how to do that, but if I give it an exact example, it can copy me.
Nice. Okay. So that kind of leads into the second strategy it gives, which is provide reference text. The copy pasting is a great example. What other strategies have you used there?
Yeah. So something that they mention is to tell ChatGPT to answer with citations from a reference text. That I think is super, super interesting. One other thing that I think is like that I've done a lot is, you know, going back to earlier when I was like, it can't do like really long things. There is a strategy to make it do long things, but also this is a strategy for getting it to complex stuff. So if you have a complex task with multiple steps, of course, for those that know, I'm currently building AI Box, which is going to help people automate their workflows. So you can like take those multiple steps, put them into a workflow on our platform and have it like run through it all. That's going to be super nice. But because this is not launched yet, in the meantime, what I do is essentially I'll sometimes like, if I have a elaborate process, I'll have like, and I need my, like, I get my VA to do it right now because my software is not done. I'll break it into like different smaller steps. So I'll have like five prompts. It's like the first prompt is like, okay, let's say it's like an article I'm generating. The first prompt is like, take this keyword, turn it into an article title. Then the next prompt is take this article title and, write like an article outline. And then the next one is take this article outline and write an article. And the next one is like, take this article and write some frequently asked questions about it. And the next one is like, take this article and write like 10 misconceptions people have about it. And the next one is like, take this article and all this stuff and like also add like some tables of like interesting data that you can add into there. Okay, so there's like a workflow I've used for like some article generating AI tools. But if you just tried to give it like a giant prompt that said, write me an article with all of these things in it, there's no way it would get close. I think it maxes out when after like five or six bullet points of things to do, it just starts forgetting bullet points. So the way I found to actually get it to do it is you just break it down to small pieces.
Yeah, no, that's a great point for sure. Then that kind of moves on to our next one, which is to split up complex tasks. So if you tell it to do too much at once, you're not going to be happy with your result. You got to kind of break it down into small sections, small pieces of data that you want to all include. Kind of like you said, it will definitely forget lots of things. So,
100%. The other thing we wanted to talk about is, it's kind of funny. OpenAI is like, give the model time to think. I mean, I think this kind of goes without saying, but like we know, obviously, it can take a really long time to get your responses sometimes with it. But one thing they say to do is to instruct ChatGPT to work out its own solutions before coming up with a conclusion. So it's like you can say like, hey, I have this problem. I'm trying to find the solution. And maybe this is like science or math or like or something in your business, right? And you can be like, I need you to do like X, Y, and Z. Like, give me the response. Take some time to think about it and work out the problem before you give it to me. This is so fascinating to me because if you just said, here's the problem, give me the solution, it's going to use like, it's like essentially how these models work is they're just like, you know, predicting the next word in the sentence. So it's just going to like predict through it. Now, ChatGPT has some software built in to let it do some logic and reasoning, but it doesn't always know to trigger that software and that logic unless you tell it. So it's like, I have this problem. This one you're going to have to think about. Like, work it out first. Like, write your step-by-step of why you're going to do this. And you're going to get way better results than if you just ask it to give you the response. It's just going to yeah, the response might not be good. But if you tell it to like work through all the steps to get there, it's going to, you're going to actually make sure that it does all the correct steps and it gets you the right output. Is that not fascinating?
Yeah, that's crazy. And that kind of goes back to what we talked about last week. You're writing a book with AI and you wanted it to ask you certain, you instructed it to ask you questions that it needed to put together the story. So yeah, kind of giving it like time to think and time to collect information. Yeah, that's pretty wild to think about, but also, yeah, very important, because otherwise it's going to just do the fastest path to get you your answer. So yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, 100%. Something else that I've noticed that works really well is like once it generates something to, you can, I have like prompts sometimes for like refining the prompt it gives me. So it's like, it writes an article. I'm like, awesome, thanks for the article. Now rewrite this in a way that is like more likely to be more interesting or engaging, or more likely to be X, Y, and Z, or rewrite this in a way, but like double check all the facts in it and let me know if any of the facts you think might be dubious. Now, I know you should still like fact check your own stuff coming out of ChatGPT, but like your job is a lot easier if you get it to do it and it's like, oh, so sorry, I said this, but it's not actually this, it's actually that. Like, it will catch itself a lot of times. So I think it's kind of interesting. You can also ask it if it missed anything on like on its previous like output. It's like, are you forgetting anything? Is there anything I should know? It's like, it's funny. You like some things that you would say to a human, yeah, right? That they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, let me go add this or that. Like it yeah, does the same thing.
Something I wish they would add, which as far as I know is not a thing, where you could, it would almost color code your, the answer it gives you and tell you like the percentage accurate it thinks it is, you know, like, or if it does have a citation that it pulled from, you know, to give you that there. I don't know. Just, you know, sometimes I feel like it will take almost more time to go through and fact check your whole article than to, you know, actually write it yourself. It's, yeah, some of that's kind of tricky. But yeah, I wish they had like a color coded thing where you could kind of see, you know, if it's yellow, they're, it's kind of, you know, trying to fill in the gaps, but not 100% sure. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. Two other things that they mentioned. Number one is to use external tools. I think that goes without saying. Use other things like ChatGPT can't do everything. So integrating other tools, and they have their whole app store so you can integrate all those. Then the last thing I want to talk about is they say to test your changes systematically. So essentially, if you can get it to like come up with an amazing response, but you're trying to like fine tune that response or get it to be better, like use that response and say like, hey, this is the gold standard response. Now I want you to also do like X, Y, and Z, but like make sure it's as good as this response. And by saying that, it can draw back and like kind of like auto-correct itself to give you a good output.
Yeah, and kind of like the scientific method where you don't want to have too many different variables. You want to just change one thing at a time and then compare it and make sure it's still, you know, has the original integrity. So yeah, you're just changing, you know, one small thing at a time, or make this section better, or, you know, kind of breaking it down into smaller, going back to the smaller chunks thing.
Yeah. Like, like I mentioned, sometimes I'll have a prompt and I'll have like 10 bullet points of like tasks or things it needs to do. And like, it won't quite do a couple of them. And like half the time I'm tempted to be like, I'm just going to rewrite this whole thing from scratch. And then the next output is like terrible. I'm like, okay, we're going back to the one that almost worked. And now I just have to figure out how to like, just do one tweak at a time. And then you get there. And here's one pro tip for everyone. If you do this strategy, sometimes I say, I tweak the prompt and then I say, give me the output five times, like give me five outputs for that. And, or just say like, do it again five times. And then you can check, because sometimes it will like mess up on something every fifth time or every 10th time. Like it mostly gets a prompt right, but if you have to run it a ton, it'll just mess up every once in a while. So for cases like that, where you're going to be using a prompt over and over again, I try to get like a lot of outputs, see if there's any issues. And then if there is, I'll fix it in the main prompt. But like sometimes a problem doesn't show up every time. So multiple outputs are useful in that regard.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Be sure to rate our podcast wherever you listen. It really helps us out a lot. If you got any value from this, we appreciate it. We'll see you guys next time.